We're not going to have just one text that we read. What I've done is in John 10, since there's so much here, in order to cover it well, we're going to break it down into different parts. But I'm going to have you stand for this first part. And for the next two parts, I won't ask you to stand, but I'll ask you to stand for just this first one. And I'm going to be reading from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. And Jesus says this, "Truly, truly, I tell you, whoever does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. But the one who enters by the gates is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen for his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will flee from him because they do not recognize his voice." Jesus spoke this to them using this illustration, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for your word. And we pray, Lord, that you will just fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Just illuminate your word so that we can apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If there's any children, Miss Denise is here. If you would like to go with her. And also, I believe we have someone for the nursery as well. So if you have any children, if you want to take them that way, please do so now. All right, let's look at some of the details of this passage. Before we get into this, today's message is called Lessons from the Sheepfold. The Bible talks a lot about farming. Farming was an essential, and it still is, an essential occupation to humanity. We need farmers. And I am so blessed with the farmers that I know that are in my life because they have taught me so much. Many farmers did not go to college. They did not study as I did. I studied. I have degrees. But one of the things I want to tell you that I just want to laud on farmers for a second. I was told in Bible college by one of my professors that I look up to. He says the difference between an educated man and an uneducated man is an educated man has learned to do what they need to do when they have to do it, when it needs to get done. That's the essence of education. And if you think about it, these farmer friends of mine could really teach a lot of educated people a few things. Because isn't that what you see our farmers enduring? They learn to do what they have to do and to get it done when they have to get it done. Maybe no degree on the wall, but the essence of the difference between an educated person and an uneducated person is that little phrase of to learn to do what you have to do and to get it done when you have to get it done. Amen? And so a certificate is not as important as getting what the purpose of it is. And so today, as Jesus gives us this analogy of lessons from the sheepfold, it's so important that we hear what he's saying, but we inspire what our farmers know so well, is that this passage should not leave us with a heady inspiration. I was like, that sounds good. It really should motivate us to do what we need to do with it. Amen? And to get it done when we have to get it done. And that's so important with this passage, because as we go through these lessons, there's going to be things that we have to get past just knowing it. We have to learn to do it. And this is very foundational, this teaching. The first detail of this passage is that the first section that I read is an analogy. It's an analogy of a type of sheepfold that is a permanent sheepfold. And it's usually in the city. when he says, whoever does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in some other way, what he's picturing for you and me is a permanent structure, which most of our farmers, they have permanent structure for their animals. They do not have what we're going to get into later on, which is a makeshift sheepfold. Jesus used two different analogies, and it's so important. If you want to get all the meat out of this teaching, you have to picture this first sheepfold that he's talking about is like our stables or our barns, where there's gates that the animals can get into and where the shepherd comes into. That there's structure, there's permanent structure to this first analogy, this first illustration that he's talking about. And it's usually in the city. These were only used in the winter. When the weather was bad, the farmers would leave their fields and they would take their animals into the city to these permanent structures. See, not everybody had barns. Most shepherds, they lived out in the fields in the summer. That's why in the passage when it talks about the birth of Jesus, it said that the shepherds were living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night. That was the other type of sheepfold that we're going to get into in a minute. And that's why most Bible scholars do not believe Jesus was born on December 25th. Because farmers do not live out in the fields out in the winter, in the dead of winter, December 25th. They don't do that. And so this first analogy is the winter fold that was usually held in a city where all the shepherds would take their sheep and they would put them in the pens with everybody else's sheep. Everybody else's animals would be in these big pens in the city. And so when the shepherd would come in, he would call out his sheep by name and they would come to him and gather around him. The others would stay near the edge away from him because he was not their shepherd, because there were many flocks together in these pens. And so this permanent sheepfold is the backdrop of this first section. It had a gate and it usually was wooden. And it was much like the wooden gates that we have today, that it would close and lock and open and swing wide. It had a gate, and it was the official entrance of the owner of the sheep. Verse 2 says this, but the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. And it had contrasted with this, that someone who climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. There was an official entrance into this pen that held everybody's sheep. And only the shepherds were allowed to go in there to call their sheep by name and to lead them out to take them to areas in the winter that they could still graze or that they could get hay from, that they could get fed. Only a person who is up to no good would enter into the sheepfold through another route. Verse 1, it says, a thief and a robber climbs in some other way. I wanted to talk a little bit about this up to no good and the whole thing. I don't mention specifically the gatekeeper. But remember, this is an analogy teaching us something about our relationship to Jesus Christ. That's why he's teaching this. He's teaching it to those that are following him. And he's talking to them using an illustration that they could all relate to. A thief and a robber is someone that doesn't go through the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper is the one, the only one that could unlock the gates for the shepherd to call his specific sheep to him to take them out to where they can get fed. Our gatekeeper as Christians is the Word of God. The Word of God is our gatekeeper. It provides the parameters of everything that we believe in. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is God? How are you saved? What does it mean for a believer in Jesus Christ? How should we act? What should we do? What should we be about? The Word of God is our gatekeeper. Amen? And we have to, A, know what Scripture says, That's why I encourage so many of you to memorize Scripture. Allow Scripture to control your mind, to be in your mind, so that you know all that we're supposed to be about. Because it's in Scripture. Scripture, the Word of God, Genesis through Revelation, is our gatekeeper. It's our parameters for what sound doctrine is. Too many people have tried to corrupt churches, and they have either twisted Scripture or they've gone way away from Scripture. And it's so important that we surrender to the gatekeeper, that we understand who Jesus is from His Word, to understand how He works in our life, to understand who the Holy Spirit is and how He works in our lives, because otherwise we are prone to having thieves and robbers come among us to steal everything that's good about our fellowship here. Amen? The Word of God. The Word of God has got to be the gatekeeper of what I do and say as your shepherd. As your shepherd with the little s. I'm not your shepherd with the big s. That's Jesus Christ. But I am your shepherd, little s. And the Word of God has got to be the one that unlocks the gate for me to come and be around you. It's got to be the guide for anybody that speaks truth into your life. If they're not in line with the Word of God, you really shouldn't be following them. Amen? And that's why it's constant that we go to our gatekeeper about what he says when I speak from the pulpit or when anybody else speaks from up here or sings, that the gatekeeper has got be the one that unlocks the gates before we listen to what they have to do or say. Amen? The gatekeeper is God's Word. He is our parameter for truth. He is the Holy Spirit interacting with the Word of God is what keeps us who we are. It has to be submission to the Word of God. So, again, don't listen to people who are abusing the Word of God or who are not even trying to use the Word of God for the parameters to open up the gates to your hearts, because they're a thief and they're a robber and they're up to no good. We have to let the gatekeeper show us who to follow and who to not. A good shepherd has a personal relationship with each sheep in his flock, verses 3 through 5. The gatekeeper, the Word of God, opens the gate for him. The sheep listen for the shepherd's voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. You'll hear me say this many times. Going to church does not make you a believer. Having a relationship with the shepherd is what makes you a Christian. Going to church, getting baptized, all those side things. Yes, the Word of God talks about them. But the essence of what makes you His sheep is a personal, individual relationship with the shepherd. He knows you by name, and you know His voice. Again, it'll always be in line with God's Word, the gatekeeper. If Jesus will never tell you to do something that is contrary to the Word of God. He'll never present Himself in a way that's contrary to the Word of God. One of the things God has willingly limited Himself to His Word and His character. He will not violate those two things. He will not. The Bible puts it this way in such strong language. God cannot lie. Think about it. Think about that statement. God cannot lie. That means he will submit to His Scripture. He will always be in line with His Word because He cannot lie. Why? Because it's a character of God to be true to His Word. It's a character trait of God to have the character of someone that when He says it, He will do it. When He says, this is not the way I'm going to treat you, He won't treat you that way. That's how we know His voice. is through his word and his character, because he has limited himself that he cannot lie. He won't do it. And we can trust it. That helps us to know what his voice is. It will always be in line with his word. And this personal relationship with him helps us to hear him. Now, the religious leaders in this story were deaf to what Jesus was telling them. Verse 6, it says this, Jesus spoke this to them using this illustration, but they did not understand what he was telling them. We've talked a lot about the hardness of people's hearts. When you have a hard heart, you cannot receive God's word. You can't. There's no place for it. It's like sowing corn seeds, beans, whatever seeds that you're sowing on a road, on an asphalt paved road. It will not grow there. It needs to find good dirt, good soil to grow and to produce. These Pharisees had a hard heart towards God. They were bitter. They were angry. They were unforgiving. And they could not hear what he was telling them. I know my flock. I know each one of you that are here. And I know that you are good soil. And I know that what God is telling you, you are growing in your faith. And it's so encouraging to see that in you. To know that the seeds that are sown week after week here are producing things. See, it couldn't happen in their life because they were deaf to what he was telling them. Now I want to read the next section, John 10, verses 17 through 15. So he said to them again, truly, truly, I tell you, if you have King James, this is the second verily. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it in the fullness. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd, and the sheep are not his own. When he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf pounces on them and scatters the flock. The man runs away because he is a hired servant and is unconcerned for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So many Christians have missed the change in this text. It changes from the city fold, that is a permanent fold, where they have a wooden gate that swings and opens up, and the analogy changes. That's why he says, verily, verily, or I tell you the truth. He is shifting gears. He is changing the analogy. This analogy is more of a temporary sheepfold, and it's usually the one that they used in the summers, and it was makeshift. Verse 7, it says this, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. In this makeshift fold that they used in the summers, it was out in the fields, like we talked about earlier, where the shepherds were living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night, where there were no wooden structures. Just wherever the sheep had been grazing, they would move the sheep against like a row of trees, and they would stack up branches and rocks and pieces of wood to make a makeshift fold for them at night. And they would put them all in this structure. A lot of times, is since there were mountains, there were large rocks, they would use the rocks as a background, the boulders, and they would just build around it with the branches to make this cove so that they could put their sheep in at night. And they didn't have an official door. The shepherd himself would lay down on the ground to keep them in. So they couldn't go out because it'd be rocks here, it'd be branches here, There'd be boulders or whatever they could find to put up to keep them enclosed, and the shepherd himself would lay down to be the gate. So again, are you catching the shifting here? It's a totally different fold. It's not the gatekeeper, the gate to a permanent structure. It's out in the fields, and it's a makeshift thing that they would move around. And a lot of times that the shepherd would allow the sheep to come and go. He would let the sheep come and go to get grazing, but they would come back in at night to get the safety of the shepherd laying down, being the door for the sheep. Everyone follow what I'm saying? So it's two different analogies. This helps us to understand the different truths, because it's confusing. It seems like, wait a minute, he just talked about a gatekeeper, and he talked about the shepherd entering the gate, and now he's saying he is the gate. Oh, that's so confusing. But it doesn't. It clears up when you see that it's a totally different story to teach totally different points. And so now he's going to this makeshift temporary sheepfold that's usually out in the fields. The shepherd would lay down at the entrance of the sheepfold and would become the door for this. This is verse 8 and 9. He says this, "I am the gate. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture." Again, a different analogy, and it helps us to understand what he's trying to teach by seeing the two different stories that he's laying before us. Jesus contrasts him with the enemies of God's people, verses 10 and 11. "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have in its fullness. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Then Jesus compares himself with what I call a rent-a-shepherd. Rent-a-shepherd, verses 12 and 13. "The hired hand is not the shepherd, and the sheep are not his own. When he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf pounces on them and scatters the flock." Remember I talked about the capital S is Jesus Christ? The little S are the shepherds that God has put in your life, the people to speak truth in, that you need to listen to. Again, we have to go through the gatekeeper, just like Jesus has chosen to go through the gatekeeper. He cannot lie. He cannot break his character. So he'll be true to God's word. Any small S's need to be that as well. We need to be in submission to God's word, and our character has got to constantly be coming back to what is that God has said about our shepherds in his word, that we're not to be greedy people. We're to be the husband of one wife. I'm to be faithful to my spouse. I'm to care for my kids. I'm to have the character that is lined up for elders and for leaders in the church. But I want to tell you, if I'm really trying, and I want to tell you, I really do try. I'm not perfect. I'm so far from perfect. But I minister out of my imperfections. Those are some of my best illustrations or times that I said or did goofy things. Those are great illustrations that I use to teach what I should be about. Amen? If I'm doing that, you need to be listening. Amen? Because a rent-a-shepherd is in it for his own. A rent-a-shepherd, when people attack the flocks, he'll just go get another job at the church down the street. Or if things get turned up and heated up, a good shepherd, whether it's a capital S, we know he will be, but little s shepherds in your life, has got to be people that will stand by you through the hard times. And I want to tell you, that's who I endeavor to be. You shouldn't be listening to people that don't know you, that you don't know if they care about you, And you don't know that if things get hard, that they're going to throw you to the wolves in order to give them the time to get out of there. Rent-a-shepherds will do that because it's all about them and them getting their paycheck. And they will not lay down their life for the sheep. That's the rent-a-shepherd, verses 12 and 13. Then Jesus summarizes up both analogies with verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Whether it's a capital S, which we know he'll be true, or the little s, it's so important that we develop trusting relationships. Amen? See, I'm not the only shepherd in this flock. There's Sunday school teachers. There's parents. There's people in authority that God has put in your life that you need to be listening to. Now, they need to be lining up with God's word. And if they violate God's word, you really aren't obligated to do what they say. Amen? And so we need to use this whole thing that we're talking about as a filter for who Jesus is and what he's asking you to do and who the shepherds are in your lives and what your response needs to be to them. The Bible puts it this way. It says you need to listen to the shepherds that God has put over you in your life. For all authority comes from God. And he delegates authority to people in your life. Some people have asked me, Pastor, how do I know who has authority in my life and who I should be listening to more than others? It's really easy. Authority always goes uphill. Okay? And it never goes down or very rarely goes down. Who are the people in your life that get residual praise when you do well? If you're a student and you get an A, who gets praise for that besides you? Well, anybody want to call them out? Teachers? Teachers or shepherds? Who else? Coaches? Who else? Parents? See, you can go through who gets residual praise when you do well. Likewise, who gets residual blame when you blow it? Same way, right? These are the shepherds that God has put in your life that you need to listen to. If a community is obeying the laws and there's no crime in this community, who gets the praise for that? Well, you think the chief of police, right? Any kind of civic leaders, sometimes mayors, the governor of Indiana, the president of the United States. Within their realm of authority, we need to listen to them because they get residual blame when we do bad. They get residual praise when we do good. And so as long, again, that it's in line with the gatekeeper, with God's word, we need to submit to the authority that God has put in them that's over us. And those are our shepherds that God has put in our life. That when we obey them in the realm that they have responsible for, you know, not every shepherd is the same. I can't tell you things regarding taxes. I can't. You come to me and, Pastor, I don't want to pay my taxes. And I say, wow, I think you've given enough. Don't pay your taxes. Keep it. Lie about it. I am not in line with the gatekeeper, right? My word and my character is not lining up with the authority that God has given me. Do not listen to me in that area. Amen? So again, our shepherds that God has put over our lives have a realm of authority that God has delegated to them. In that realm, we need to submit and listen to them. That's what Jesus is telling us. And ultimately, he is really poking at the Pharisees here. Because these were people asking everybody else to do things that they themselves weren't even lifting a finger to try to even start. And Jesus is basically saying, I'm the good shepherd. These guys are renta shepherds. Don't listen to them when it comes to things of the Spirit that contradicts the gatekeeper and that contradicts the good shepherd. Amen? And so there is some poking here when he summarizes up both analogies. I want to finish up with this text. John chapter 10, verses 16 through 21. I have other sheep, Jesus said, that are not of this fold. I must bring them as well, and they will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason the Father loves me is that I lay down my sheep, my life, in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority. Remember, authority is real key in what we're talking about and who's shepherding you, because all authority is delegated from God. And so when someone gets that residual praise or blame, they are working within that authority that God has delegated to them. But Jesus says, I have the authority to lay down my life and the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from the Father. Again, there was divisions among the Jews because of Jesus' message. Many of them said, he is crazy, i.e. demon-possessed and insane. Why would you listen to him? But others replied, these are not the words of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Jesus alludes to having non-Jewish sheep who see him as their shepherd. We see this popping up in a couple of ways in the New Testament. There was a man named Cornelius who was called a God-fearer. God-fearers were Gentiles who had not been circumcised and have not done everything required to in order to become a Jew. See, to get circumcised as an adult was a death sentence back then. To go through that surgery without having what we have in this century for antibiotics and for antiseptic and clean practices, they didn't have that. A surgery such as a circumcision was a death sentence for a grown adult. And so there were grown adult non-Jews who were God-fearers. They did everything they could to follow God. And that's who he's talking about when he says, I have sheep that are not of the Jewish fold. There were people that would listen and follow him if they're only had it presented to them. And it's so important that we start thinking in this big picture that there are people that will listen to follow Jesus Christ that you and I need to be talking to, even if they never come and be part of our little fold we have here. Because Jesus' kingdom is bigger than what you and I can picture it to be. It's bigger than this fellowship we have now. It's bigger than our town. It's bigger than our state. The whole world is the flock of Jesus Christ. He has them in all shapes and sizes and cultures and languages. And so, again, we need to share our stories with people, even if they will never come and be a part of our little flock. Amen? Because he has sheep that will listen to his voice that aren't people that would necessarily come and fellowship with us in our meetings that we have. And so it's so important that we see that big picture that he has sheep outside of the folds that you and I are in. It doesn't mean that lets us off the hook for sharing our story and being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ to reach out to them, even if they'll never become a part of our little fellowship we have here. So important. Jesus stated his claim to authority given to him from his Father. And this really made the Jews upset. He said, I have the authority to die, and I have the authority to be raised again. No man can claim that. I don't have that authority. I don't have the authority to die and to self-resurrect. Jesus did. He did, which puts him on a whole different category than you and me. That's why it's so important that we get Jesus right, because the gatekeeper tells us who Jesus is. Jesus is fully God and he's fully man. You cannot be a Christ follower and believe that he was just a good moral teacher. Why? Because the gatekeeper won't let you in. The gatekeeper, God's word, tells you who Jesus Christ is. quizzers. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. John 1:18, and that Word became flesh. And we know Him as Jesus Christ. The gatekeeper tells us who Jesus is. He is fully God, fully man, the only way of salvation. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one gets saved but through me. The gatekeeper makes it really clear. And so, again, he claimed this authority that put him online with God himself, because only God could say certain things, and to have this ultimate authority of being able to self-resurrect is more than any human teacher would or should ever claim. This again restarted the debate as to who he was claiming to be, verses 19 through 21. Again, there was division among the Jews because of what he just said. Many of them said, he's crazy, he's demon-possessed. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the words of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And the answer is no. His words and his actions showed that he was different than any human teacher that has ever walked the planet. So what can we take away from this passage? I have to ask this simple question. Do you have a shepherd? Do you have a capital S shepherd? Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Is he your shepherd? And I know my flock, I know you would answer yes. It's so important that you enjoy that. You have a relationship with your God as your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not be in need. He maketh me to lie down in safe places. He leads me beside quiet. He gives me that shalom, that supernatural peace. Because I have a shepherd. Do you have a shepherd? It's so important that we ask that. You know, in order for me to fully understand this, I went through Psalm 23 and I put everything in the negative, because I have found myself at different points in my life more in the negative Psalm 23 than the real Psalm 23. Let me read you my poem that I put together for my negative Psalm 23, which in my flesh, there's been times that I'm more this than the real Psalm 23. Here we go. I am my own shepherd. I call the shots. I get what I want. But my pastures are dry and unsatisfying. My spiritual thirst is unquenched. My soul is exhausted. The more I crave, the emptier I feel. Shame and guilt stare at me from my past. I live in the valley of the shadow of death. I fear everything. I fear death. I fear poverty. I fear illness. I fear loneliness. I beat myself with religious ideals that I can never seem to meet. I cannot tell my enemies from my friends. My head is tired and my cup is empty. Each day brings nothing new but the dread in my mind that nothing will ever change. Too many Christians live more this than the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Do you have a shepherd of your soul? Allow him to do his job. Our job is simple. Listen and do what he says. His job is to keep us from the wolves. His job is to protect us and to care for us and to give us that shalom in the midst of horrible circumstances. Amen? Let him do his job. Enjoy it. Too many Christians, they tell me, yeah, I don't need shepherds. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be around Christians. I am my own shepherd. And I warn them as Jesus is warning them in this passage. You need shepherds. You need the shepherd, capital S, and you need little S's. And you need to be listening to them and following them as long as the gatekeeper gets them to you. If the gatekeeper doesn't open up the gate, and the gatekeeper is the Word of God, Scripture, the gatekeeper will open the gate for legitimate shepherds. Both Jesus Christ will always enter the gate. He'll never climb in another way. He'll always submit to His Word and His character. But other shepherds need to be doing that too. And we need to be listened. Do not listen to shepherds. Do you listen to the shepherds that God has given you on earth? It's so important. Next, application of this passage. It is so dangerous to try to shepherd yourself. You don't need a building, but you need shepherds. A lot of Christians will say, I don't need to go to church in order to be a Christian. Yes, but if you don't want to get eaten by a wolf, you should be in a fellowship with a shepherd. Amen? Do you want to get eaten by the wolf? When you try to go at it alone, you will get eaten by wolves because you don't have that shepherd that God has put in your life to help protect you and to guide you and to teach you, to love on you. You need shepherds. Don't go at it alone. Don't stay at home. Find a fellowship, a group. It doesn't have to be Sunday. It doesn't have to be in a building, but you should be in a fellowship with other Christians. And there needs to be mature Christians in that group that help protect you and shepherd you. It's so important. If you want to be in line with God's word, you need shepherds. And you need to listen to them. And you need to allow them to speak into your life. Amen? You can determine whether your human shepherds are of God or not by their response when it costs them to be your shepherd. And you can add, they need to be in line with God's word. Because He's the gate, the word of God is the gatekeeper for sound doctrine and who should be shepherding you. Father God, I thank You for this passage. I thank You for the challenges that I've had in my life as a little S shepherd. Lord, I need to have little S shepherds in my life too. I thank You for the men and women that You have put in my life over the years that have spoken truth into my life. Help me, Lord, to live in such a way as to give them honor by my behavior. And Lord, help me not to bring shame to them by my bad behavior. Help me to live in honorable relationships with those that get residual praise or benefit from who I am and what I do. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, Amen.